Kia ora. Kofra Smith au. Nau mai kete whare. Welcome to the house. If you've heard this show before, you'll know that we mention pretty regularly that, against all appearances, the government in New Zealand is subordinate to the Parliament. You might even say we kind of bang on about it. Let's recap, though. Parliament has a variety of jobs. It provides an executive, it passes laws, it permits and approves revenue and spending, and it generally keeps a close eye on what the government's up to. Governments, in their turn, often seem to struggle with this arrangement. They sometimes forget that they're not the boss, and they regularly avoid the scrutiny. It's an eternal tug of war. There are many ways that Parliament attempts its scrutiny of the executive, by, for example, asking thousands of written questions, which are mostly answered by the ministries. Also by asking oral questions in the House, which often provide new and creative definitions for answered.
What's the estimated annual cost of reinstating interest deductibility for landlords once that policy is fully implemented?
Well, what I'm very proud about that policy is making sure that it delivers for renters of New Zealand. The Labour Party used to care about renters in New Zealand.
Parliament also keeps a check via select committee inquiries and via the usual debates and discussions in the House. Occasionally, there are also extras thrown in. One example is urgent debates.
I've received a letter from the Honourable Priyanka Radhakrishnan seeking to debate Understanding Order 399, an announcement about purchasing rules for disability funding.
Parliament's rules especially allow for urgent debates to be requested, so long as the Speaker agrees that the proposal meets three criteria. It must be a particular case of recent occurrence, it must be the government's responsibility, and it must require the immediate attention of the House and the government.
This is a particular case of recent occurrence for which there is ministerial responsibility.
In short, it must be recent, be the government's problem, and be worth the time. Urgent debates are requested a lot more often than they are allowed. Over the five previous parliaments, a little over 14% of requests have been allowed. Some speakers are more generous than others, so the per parliament numbers vary quite a lot. The low success rate is presumably partly because speakers can tend to lean towards being a tad protective of their own colleagues, and partly because a lot of requests are pretty hopeful and made for show. I remember an urgent debate a couple of years ago that was allowed, and even the MP who requested it was caught out and found unprepared. So far this Parliament, five urgent debates have been requested and five have been declined.
However, I've listened to the answers to questions asked today, considered the matter because I have an interest in it, but I am not convinced that the time of the House should be set aside today to debate the matter.
Denials are usually on the basis of a topic not being either topical enough or not the government's problem. And in recent years, well-timed ministerial statements have often preempted a request, making an urgent debate redundant. And lastly, speakers also sometimes argue that another debate can satisfy the need. Say if another debate on the day will allow speeches on exactly the same topic. Remember that speakers' rulings are like common law. They can shift the interpretation of the rules and then act as a framework for future rulings. This week, as you've been hearing, there was a request for an urgent debate on an announced change in the funding criteria for disability services. And it's worth noting because the Speaker's ruling on it opened new ground, acres of it. The Speaker's denial of the request chose that third reason, that another impending debate would suffice.
The annual review debate would be an appropriate vehicle to debate this matter, since it covers the performance and current operations of departments.
The impending debate he was referring to will occur in April, in about 3 weeks' time.
The Leader of the House has indicated that debate will start in April, and has called for parties to nominate which ministers will appear before the committee of the whole House during the debate. The application is therefore declined.
And there was another problem, as Labour's Kieran McAnulty pointed out.
The concern that I have, however, is that there is still no requirement of the government to accept the proposals from the opposition on the topics and portfolios by which will be debated during the annual review debate. So this House can't be assured that the opportunity to debate this will be given during the annual review debate.
Well, that's true, but the member knows also that the business committee will be involved in that process, and I would certainly be an advocate for the opposition having the opportunities that they seek.
So why bring this to your attention? Well, partly because it's a chance to chat through the rules around urgent debates, and also because the Speaker, Gerry Brownlee, managed to blow an impressive new hole right through the current interpretation of those rules. and the new ruling might plausibly make that 14% success rate look hopeful. You've been listening to The House. E te whakaranga koe ki te whare. This program is produced with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Matua.